Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
All right, so the app's up and running. Your books are there. I think we know how this is working by now. We're continuing our series, Listen to Him. And today we're going to be in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. If you're in an Emmanuel Bible, that's page 852. If you're in your own Bible, Luke chapter 17. If you can and your health allows you, I invite you to stand in reverence and honor of the reading of the gospel this morning. So we see that we're still on this journey because it starts. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" When none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. Amen. Have you noticed we got a problem in our society? People don't say thank you anymore. Unless they were raised by good parents and they're threatening them. Like, you better say thank you. You hold a door for a group of people. This ever happened to anybody? You're holding a door because you see one person coming with their hands full. You didn't know there were 17 more behind them. Then the last person would say, well, thanks. Well, you're welcome. You need to teach the 16 people in front of you how to be polite. We have to teach and sometimes even force our children to say thank you for things, don't we? Amen. And we find that out in our scripture today. It seems like losing our gratitude for something isn't just a today problem, but it's been an all the time problem. Because we see in our text today that as we're continuing towards Jerusalem, now we know in Jerusalem the cross is waiting. But we're continuing on that path together. So Jesus is traveling and a group of lepers begins to cry out, "Have mercy." That's been our prayer, hadn't it? Those of you doing the devotion, that's the daily prayer. Have mercy. But they kept their distance. Well, they had to keep their distance. They weren't allowed to be in society. If they were to walk into a crowd, they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," so people could get away from them. Could you imagine living your life like that? That'd be terrible. But Jesus is coming, so they've obviously either heard about what Jesus is doing, or they know who he is. And so Jesus tells them. They say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And his response is, "Go see the priest." Now that's kind of weird, isn't it? Don't you expect at this point Jesus to say, "Come here and let me pray for you. Come here and let me touch you. Come here and let me show the glory of God to all these people while I heal you"? But he doesn't. You see, the customary protocol, so to speak, is that these lepers, who could have a variety of different diseases, are sent to the priest, and the priest was the only one that could look at him and go, yeah, you look better, so you're allowed to return into society. The priest was the only one that could take their healing and make it official and say, welcome back into a normal societal life. The priest was the only one, not a rabbi, a priest. But something happens on the way. Jesus says, go tell the priest. Now, if I'm one of the 10, I'm not taking the first step to the priest until you've healed me. Because I need to be healed before the priest can look at me. But they're in obedience. Jesus told them to go. And we hear that as they're going, what happens? They get healed. They get healed as they're walking in obedience to Jesus. He didn't have to touch them. They just had to be obedient. But one of them looks down and realizes, I hadn't got to the priest yet, and I'm healed. But the priest is the only one that can put me back into society. But Jesus is obviously the only one that can heal me. So what does he do? He says he turns back. He didn't even get to the priest. You following me? He still can't go back into society because the priest hadn't told him yet. But does he care? No, he goes straight back to Jesus. And it said, turning back, he began praising God with a loud voice. And when he sees Jesus, he throws himself at Jesus' feet. A sign of surrender, a sign of master and authority and savior. And Jesus does what a good rabbi teacher would do. He teaches a lesson by only asking questions. Doesn't that frustrate you? Like, Jesus, just give us an answer. I'm simple-minded. I need an answer, Jesus. He's got no answer for us. He says, we're not 10 made clean? Well, of course, everybody now is thinking, well, yeah, they were 10. So where are the other 9? Can you imagine the disciples? Like, Peter wants to answer, right? And maybe John, because he's the favorite. You know, he's like, shh, quiet. Don't say nothing. We don't know. And then Jesus says, so you're telling me the only one who was found to come back and give praise to God and to acknowledge me as who I am was the Samaritan, the foreigner. Now, if you've been in church a long time, you know that's very similar to a lot of the other Samaritan-related stories throughout Scripture. But Jesus is trying to prove a point. There were 10 who knew they needed to cry out to Jesus. There were 10 who went to the priest in obedience, but there was only one who cared more about being in the presence of Jesus than they did getting back into society. There were 9 who from the text we have, we can kind of infer that they were Jewish. They knew the law. They knew who this was supposed to be. But only this Samaritan comes back. Did you notice when he comes back, he first gives praise to God, then falls down at Jesus? Jesus' whole life was for nothing other than to give praise to God by redeeming and restoring us. He never lifts himself up. He always humbles himself so that the Father is glorified. Now, this may not be the perfect illustration, but these words from Jesus, these questions, they remind me a lot of the current state of Christianity in the church. In the Western world. And by the Western world, I mean Europe and America. But I've never been to Europe, so I might as well just say America, because I don't want to make them mad at me. But is it safe to say that most of us at some point realized we needed to cry out to Jesus to save us? I hope so. I hope so. If not, I hope that you're continuing to hear, feel that nudge, and that you will cry out to Jesus. But we're taught, even at a young age, that you got to invite Him in your heart. Right? I mean, what's vacation Bible school? I mean, we learn all those different things. But over time, what starts as a walk in obedience often fades into a I care more about what I can get from Jesus than I do being in front of Him and giving Him the honor He deserves. Because these nine men were still being obedient to what Jesus told them to do. But obviously, they cared more about getting put back in society than they did praising God. And I can see times in my life where that's happened, where I care more about what the church can do for me than I do about being the hands and feet of Christ so that I can be the church for somebody else. I've been there in my life, not even all that long ago. So what can we do about it? Well, first we have to acknowledge that it's kind of a problem. We can't fix it until we acknowledge that this is not the pattern that is designed. We have to continue to remember what God has done for us. We cannot forget to tell ourselves, our family, our children, anybody who will listen, what God has done for us. We have to continue to remember the reality of the situation, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We had a wonderful conversation that got cut short in Sunday school this morning, but about how, if you really think about what we truly deserve in this life and what we get because of Jesus, it ought to change our whole perspective on our faith. There's a verse out, I guess that's what you call it. I don't know. I don't know anything about music. But it's called Red Letters by Crowder. Isn't that? You know you've made it when you can only go by one name, you know? So Crowder, he says these words. He says, "For God so loved the whole wide world, He sent His only Son to die for me. Arms spread wide for the whole wide world. His arms spread wide where mine should be. Jesus changed my destiny. Thank you, God, for red letters." So, church, we must continue. We must continue to do the things that seem weird and awkward. We must continue to travail, to persevere in prayer. We have to continue to make worship the priority. Is that not what the one healed man did? He came back so he could worship? Amen. But we also must continue to tell our story and to invite others to experience what we've already experienced. Did you know, based on some reports, that anywhere between 75 to 90% more likely to attend church on Easter than any other Sunday? I don't know what number you want to go with, but even if we just say 70, some of you got people on your heart you want to see in church. Amen. Do you really want to pass up an opportunity where you got a 70% chance to get them here? Good. I'm glad you said no. Because we got 500 invitations. Free. But boy, they're customized and they look good. Fancy. And on one side it says, "He is risen," and we've got yard signs with that same logo on it that are going to be all over our community. On the back, it's got a little description about who we are. It's got the two services that we will have. It's even got a tiny map that shows them how to get here. So we got a website. We got an address so you can put it in your GPS. So we've got everybody covered from 1980 to 2019. But I want you to take these. On Tuesdays, we've been praying for people to invite. Now it's time to start inviting. So take these cards. There's plenty of them. We'll have them on the podium back there. Take a handful. Don't take 30 just so you look righteous, knowing you're not going to invite anybody. Take a couple, invite them. Did you realize how the passage ends, though? After asking those three questions, Jesus looks at the one who returned and he says, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." No command to go back to the priest. And he's already been physically healed. That's what made him return. But Jesus just told him he's been made well. There's a second inner healing that's just taken place. And he now stands justly with Christ because of that. So where do you find yourself in the story today? Because we're all in this story. Some way, shape, or form, we're in this story. We're about to sing one of the most popular hymns, at least in the Methodist Church, for several decades, Blessed Assurance. And those words that, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. That's my hope and prayer for myself, for each and every one of you, and for us as a church, is that no matter how long it's been, we will not lose sight of what God's done. And when people look at us, they will know that we're the one at his feet and not the nine walking away. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.